Matthew 28. He says in 18, says, all, when Jesus came, said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you all of the world. Amen. Amen. So this session will be brief. I have another teaching session by 1:30. All right. So teaching the LTP class 1:30 to 6 or 6:30. All right. So I'll just have a brief session with us. So again, we see the instruction has to do with making disciples. It says to make disciples. Hallelujah. We're looking at Christian ministry. So we said in our last meeting that one of the things we train, because disciple means a training, means we carry people through a training. I've said that it means that we, you know, if you have been told to teach someone, if you have been told to train, then one of the things you want to do away with is assumptions. Are we there? So we do not assume. The line of what we said last week and the week before assured us that many times we do not do the diligent work in actually grooming people. In grooming people. You know, discipleship is to groom people, to make disciples. It means to groom people. Many times we find that cross-cultural, is that even the word to use? That's really not the word to use. But we find that practice of transferring what has been a culture before, you know, people got born again, before people got saved. So we, now that people are saved, when we don't do the due diligence of training people or retraining people, we will find, you know, people having a culture, the culture they had when they were not yet saved. They will begin to demonstrate the same culture now that they are born again. And I said, one of such scenarios or instances where we might have that or suffer that is in how we handle meetings. Praise God. Remember, part of what we said so far is that Christian meetings, yeah, they are supernatural. We said Christian meetings have a tone. Christian meetings, you can also call it church meetings. Church meetings. But the reason why I've maintained the use of the word Christian meetings and not church meetings, even though they are invariably the same, but the reason why I maintain the use of the word Christian meetings is because we are looking at what is ideal from God's word. May we say church meeting can be seen as this is the way we do it in our church. It's not about how you do it in your church. We're looking at how meetings ought to be like in God's word. Are we there? Are we there? The goal is that we must be able to look into God's word. Then we look at ourselves. Are we there? Then we see where adjustment is needed. And then we adjust. So if we look at what we are doing, then we look at what God says. Then we'll discern where we ought to adjust. Are we together? We'll find out where we are wrong or what we are doing wrongly. So we'll look at God's word. Then we'll look at what we are doing. Then we'll find out, have we missed it anywhere? How are we supposed to handle our meetings? And then we make necessary adjustments. Praise God. We make necessary adjustments. So, we said the church meetings or Christian meetings have a tone. Church meetings have a tone. A tone. We spoke about that already as to how you comport yourself. So I went into saying, if we are then told to make disciples, can I have some volunteers? If we are told to make disciples, are we together? That means one of the things we must not do is that we must not be found assuming. We don't assume, for example, that a new believer understands Christian meetings, how to handle meetings, how to attend meetings. I think we have a teaching like that, how to prepare for church meetings. I think so. All right. We have teaching like that. So we don't assume that believers are equipped or armed with enough knowledge. What do? We teach, we train. Amen. So I don't assume that this Christian has a thorough understanding of Christianity. At best, what he will do is that he begins to, look at this, he begins to reach into his mind to draw out a culture to undo issues. But the moment he's born again, God's word needs to renew his mind. So, because at every point in time, you will need to reach in to draw out counsel, directives. Sometimes you're faced with challenges and you need to know what to do. You will have to reach into your mind. Are we there? So, many times it's a question of what is in his mind. If what is in the mind is a form of idol worshipping, you know, characteristic, he will adopt that in worshipping God. Praise God. He will do exactly. Have you, for example, look at it. Have you seen, I remember I saw a preacher like that who was going to ask people to give offerings. Now this might look very minute, but the reason of it is not minute. you just have to see the effect of 5,000 people practicing it for you to see that this is really, really, really terrible. Yeah. So he calls on people to give an offering, and then was it a seed or something? I think he said the seed, that he gave a seed, and then he says, bring out what you want to give. So the fellow reached out to their bags and wallets and purses and all that. So he says, whatever you want God to do for you, begin to speak it into that offering before you give it. Where did he learn that from? Have you seen things like that before? Or wait, look at this. You should have seen this. Have you seen, let's say, a preacher preaching from the pulpit, and then people want to give. Then people reach out into their purses or pockets or wallets, bags, pull out money, and rushes and drops it on the pulpit. Have you seen anything like that before? Have you wondered, where did that practice come from? See, if you have the responsibility of discipling people, you will have questions, you will ask the questions I'm asking. If you are really interested in people worshipping God correctly, you will ask questions. I didn't say you will be critical and attacking, no. But you will have questions. So, you're like, where did they learn that? Obviously, nobody has to tell you that practice was taken from idol worship. African idol worship. Are we together? That is when you visit an herbalist. So, I even say we should not call them herbalists again now. That some people are coming out now, they say they are the true herbalists. That what have we done to them? That our work is just to produce medicine from herbs. I kind of wanted to say, oh, you guys are the same. Wait for another 10 years, we'll know whether you're the same. Let's just keep calling you. If we observe that you are different, okay. But it's okay. Let's just, you know, separate it. Which doctor? So it's in African traditional worship of idols that you visit, not you. I mean, someone visits a witch doctor, and then the witch doctor says, "Oh yeah, bring out something from your bag." They even go with new currencies. If you bring out that brown, that one that is tearing by the corners, the gods just get angry at you. So you have to come with new currency. You know what they call agana? You know agana? You don't know agana? Agana is the new mint. Is the mint currency. That is, you know, that's a smell. When you smell it, you'll be like, oh, wealth is good. When you smell it, you smell a pack of it. To God, this is a sweet smelling sacrifice. Praise God. So the witch doctor will say, carry it. Then they will say, you should start what? You should start speaking into the body. Then when you are done speaking to it, what does it do? It will say you should what? When you want to give it to him, will he collect it? He said, no. He said we should cast it on the what? On the idol. So people like that get born again. We don't teach them on giving in Christianity. So he takes his offering. He begins to say the things he wants this new God to do. Then he takes it and he dumps it on they call it altar. I don't know whether we are killing animals. So they dump it on the pulpit. Throw it there. So where did that practice come from? Now that's just one. I mentioned now because we're used to that. But there are diverse other practices. Are we together? And one thing is this: the moment you see a practice, there is something bigger behind the scene. There is a knowledge system that has not changed. Yesterday I was teaching our IOTP students, and I said that one of the reasons for proper Bible interpretation is so that God can be correctly worshipped. In fact, we went into looking at why read the Bible, because that's what we're doing. Why read the Bible? So we said reading is for discovery. Discovery is for understanding. Understanding is for worship. It's for true conduct. And that true living is worship. Is the worship of God. Your true living, according to God's word, is the worship of God. So there's a need for renewal. So Paul spoke about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are we together? So that is where training comes in. So look at this. If you've been told to make disciples, look at this. Assumption is costlier when it's from you. You have already been given the task of teaching and grooming and training people. Assumption should not be found from you. You must not assume that the believer knows how to pray. Like I told you, some people's prayer session is just complaining session. Because some people say, oh yeah, command the Holy Ghost. And you think you are praying. I mean, someone literally shows you, and then someone is telling you that that's prayer. He says, command the Holy Ghost, tell the Holy Ghost to go. That's not prayer. So we will go further to tell God that, oh God, do this. If you don't do this, you are praying. No. And they say it in Yoruba. If you don't do this, oh God. If you don't do this, No, that's threatening. That's threatening and blackmail. And they say it in Yoruba. If you don't do this, some people say, God, God, you better don't let the world ask me that who is my God. Is it Yoruba? How is that prayer? So we have to train people. The primary way of training a child, are we together? Are we together? Or anyone is teaching. So teaching is major. So that means there is no aspect of the Christian faith that we should not teach. That's why I told you weeks ago, a pastor cannot afford to be a specialist and say things like, this is my own message. That one is not my message. That's nonsense. A pastor should be well grounded all around. He must also consistently grow. Amen? He must also consistently grow. So one of such things that we have been told to teach and to learn properly is how to handle the gatherings of ourselves together. So I told you that part of the ways to know an illiterate, now 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not being insulting when I use the word illiterate, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, I would not have you to be illiterate, ignorant. So one of the ways to know somebody who is ignorant about Christian meetings is to observe how he handles the meetings. I remember some time ago, I think that was about 3 or 4 years ago, or even more, I think about 8, 9 years ago. So I was talking to me about a particular set of people that I was teaching, training them, version of battle. The fellow said, that I observed that these people, when they are coming for, someone even told me that about like 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, and all that. I was just smiling. He said, when people are coming to your meetings, why are they? So he observed some form of similarities. And I felt that, well, you don't really judge, you don't have issues with similarities amongst medical students. I mean, there's this similarity of wearing, what's it called now? Lab suits, that's what they call it. The lab suits. Are we together? Don't call it lab coat, they will fight you. They call it lab suits. So, most of my friends are doctors, but almost all of them. So that I grew up amongst medical students. So, lab suit. Not lab coat, lab suit. Then the one you wear to your microbiology lab, and then this lab suit. Praise God. So when you see medical students, you see them behave alike. In fact, after a while of being in the medical school, we even begin to predict your routine. Amen. We expect that there are certain times, like someone was telling me yesterday, the people in Ogbomosho, the cell in Ogbomosho was telling me that they were having outages around the medical school for some weeks now, the college, and then he was telling me a consistent pattern. Pastor, that Saturday morning we usually meet them sleeping. That was when I now said that must be college. I grew up among medical students. I know that because most of them had read. I had read. I remember then my 200 level, because I was in anatomy reading room with the medical students. So I didn't know something that had rubbed up already on me, reading about 17 hours. I mean, just go stretch for several hours like that. And those guys did not get up. The first few weeks, I got among them and said, what is this? The hair is tattered, everything. Some of them will not go and bath, will not brush, will not do. They will just be at anatomy reading room. They can be there for 3 days. I'm not joking, no. Me, I would go to shop and then look nice. By the time I'm back, the guy is still there. By the time I read for some hours, when I put your head there, you get up, the guy is still reading. They say, I'm hungry now. Now go away, look forward to it. By the time I'm back, the guy said, ah. By the time I now hung around them for some weeks. I remember there was time I said, if he does not do, me too I will not do. Is it me that will do actually? Is it me that will do? But I was able to stretch my inner. I think by second semester 200 level, by 211 and all that, that's cell membrane and all of those cytology and all that. By about 211, being on 200 level was a 4-unit course at 7 point. 4-unit course at 200 level. So by 200 level second semester, I had my reading style had appreciated a lot. Are we together? So, but one thing I'm driving at is that I observed that similarity with all of them as a uniformity. The same thing happens today when you say, oh, let's say you are going out. If you go out on the street, you know, and then you go out and then you see, let's say Friday at around 1 p.m. and then you go around maybe an Islamic school, you will see how all of them will flood the streets. They say, yeah, Omole Kew Abi. They flood the streets. Now, if you observe them, again, you see similarities. So it means it is normal to see a set of disciples and you see similarities in them. Is it clear? You will see similarities. So the same way, you know, there's a way you can say about someone, you say, ah, this person does not have home training. Because you expect that this conduct is not supposed to be there. It's supposed to have been dealt with in the home. In other words, someone who has home training is not supposed to behave this way. Are we together? Now, not for the grace of delving into what is trending, but there was this issue that happens online about this University of UNIZIC and a lady like that, right? Who got a lecturer and all that. Now, you know me already. I don't mention trending things in church. It's a training I have. The church is not a place for discussing trending things. So I don't want to pick something for the course here. So now, obviously, you see all of that on social media, and then you see what people say and all of that. And we obviously expect some people to be mad enough to justify what the girl did. I mean, the world of social media, your opinion is fine. You have data, you have good camera. What else? Praise God. Some people think because you have data and camera, you now qualify to teach us about life. Oh, that's it now. What do you know? It is not social media. Gone are the days when you pay to get your thought out. Yes. You have to pay a huge amount of money to get your thoughts on the media. Nobody will know anything you know until you get on the TV. So the nonsense you want to teach, you have to, by then you observe, you have to go through all that. It's just going your way. But now everybody has mobile TV. And then you observe that when everybody has mobile TV and the majority have the wrong thoughts, you will have majority of the thoughts from the mobile TV is wrong. And sometimes, and that's where carefulness comes in, because now you are exposed to wrong thoughts from the majority. Before you know it, you pick it up. That's why there must be a check and balance. The check and balance to the craze happening on the social media is the family and the church. The family and the church. So imagine, the church is not getting it right. The family is also busy. The parents also want to create content. So there's trouble. there's trouble. So in fact, churches itself, the church too are now going to create content. So average ministry now is content creation. So where is sanity? It's gone. So we have to be cautious. Are we together? Is that culture that is eroding, you know, away? Culture of sand eroding away. So definitely the training missing. Is it clear? Why did I say that? Because I mentioned home trade. I mean, obviously, you have to be possessed by a demon to see a lecturer and rent his foot. Something has to be wrong with you. No matter what, somebody has to be wrong with you. Lecturer, oh man, praise God. Somebody has to be wrong with you. Besides the fact that the lecturer, someone like that is someone's spirit. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? It's someone's spirit. It's someone's spirit. Then you're cautious. You defer. But whatever you observe, someone would then say that if he had home training, he would not behave that way. Are we together? Are we together? That means we can look at a set of people, and the reason why we expect some conduct is because we expect a training has been given. So the same thing happens in church. In fact, let me stretch a little bit more. You can see a family, and then you see the kids of that family have similar conduct. Maybe they are very respectful. They kneel when they greet. Are we together? I mean, the culture of kneeling when you greet is still there, right? Church, do we still have it? Do we still have it? Or is it gone? In this era of Gen Z. I was wrong when I said Gen Z is not a genetic thing. It's not a genetic thing. Gen Z is us getting comfortable with a bad conduct. Now, gradually, because the term Gen Z is becoming colloquial, then can use it, accommodate it. When we are talking about a trait, and we are describing a trait as Gen Z, it is not genetic, it's a bad culture. We are getting accommodating of a terrible culture. Are we together? Are we together? It's nothing like Gen Z. It's nothing like Gen Z. Remember, a pastor said, God has called us to raise the Gen Z. I said, no. God has called you to raise the chosen generation. Not Gen Z. Believers well taught in God's word. Culture. What is honor in your culture? Adhere to it. Are we together? Every culture has what is honor in them. What is honor in your own culture? Yeah, Gen Z. I can't greet. You can't kneel down to greet your husband. They gone at those days. Gone at those days. So what do you do now? When two of you wake up, just high five. Bye. Where was my own? Amen. I'm just a preacher, praise God. But I'm not a preacher of love. I'm not a preacher of love. I'm in war. I'm in battle. I'm in liquid metal. Praise God. Okay. Because if you bring that to me, yeah, start from here now. We are new. Get me into this. Are we there? But that's just mine. So what I'm saying is this. You see, you don't find it odd or weird that a people that are trained together have similarity of conduct. So the same thing applies in discipleship. In the local assembly, look at this, there is nothing wrong when all the members of a church behave alike. Nothing is wrong with that. Are we there? Don't say, why do members of the church, why do they run to church? I say, are they running with your legs? Is it your leg that they borrowed and they are running with? As they are running, is strength draining in your own leg? No. So what's your problem? I run too. So when you are running for service, because you are running late, okay, you're already running late, okay? So when you are running for service, because you are late for the service, it is just honor, common sense. honor, spiritual affairs for the Lord. Because you know what Christian meeting means to you, obviously you don't expect people who does not know what Christian meetings imply to value what you're doing. So they are, why are you hastening from work? Why are you hastening to go? Today is Thursday. So then we have to close up. Everyone need time. Today is Thursday. So now you just see my face as it. But you just, this guy is loving. And he just exchange you. Buburu. Yeah, because in a bid to honor you, I will not dishonor God. I will dishonor God. There are sometimes I just, my appointments on Thursdays are usually in the morning into midday. 12:01. From 1 p.m., I control all the activities because I know I need to detach. Worst case scenario, I have to rush out on things, put things together, and then, but I'm out again for service. Sunday morning, I don't fix meetings on Sunday morning. I wake up, I go to church. The same thing happens on other evenings because I value church meetings. Are we together? So when you see similarity of attitude, similarity of behaviors or conducts from a people or amongst a people that is being trained together, it is normal. Someone say it is normal. So that is a sign of discipleship. All will behave alike. Amen. So when you come into meetings, is it okay that we expect all to behave alike in the meetings? Definitely. That is why when you go across the book of Acts, you will see things like they were all in one accord. Oh, one accord means everybody had a common understanding and a common disposition. One accord. A common understanding, a state of a common understanding, a state of a common disposition, a state of a common practice. Common understanding, but a common disposition inspires a common what? Common what? Practice. Look at this. And we say, let us pray. And then you look at the assembly, maybe there are 500 people, 1,000 people, and everybody what? Starts out praying what? In tongues. In tongues. That shows you that this is a ground of discipleship. In tongues. It says, oh, we are singing. And then you didn't see anybody, I say, oh, who could look at my job? Because we understand this is Christian meeting. In a Christian meeting, our focus is on the Lord to worship Him. Are we together? Are we together? And someone was telling me, why is it that in your church you guys don't dance? I said, no, we do, but not in the services. Are we together? Because the moments of services for us are not moments of entertainment. We are not tempted by the music team to show dance steps. Are we together? Dance steps. The songs are songs that inspires devotion, thanksgiving. The songs inspire faith. The songs are songs that inspires devotion. Devotion unto the work and the mission of God. So that is the tone of Christian meetings, I said. We said the tone is already also seen in the way you attend the meetings, the way you dress. The dressing to Christian meetings is expected to be moderate. I'm not expected to dress in a way that the one who does not have material things feels mocked. Well, he also needs to work with that ideology. Are we together? But I don't inspire such feelings. I don't dress to prick emotions of, you know, not having that, where someone begins to feel discouraged because he doesn't have what to wear. Are we together? Are we together? It's Christian meeting. I remember I told I told someone also, I said, you guys, now there's nothing wrong in, you know, couples sitting together in church, but I just said, you guys, I don't want you to sit together in service. Yeah, I know you're couples, and I know you are excellent couples, and you're doing very greatly, but I don't want you two guys sitting together in service. Because I began to see that in services, always sitting together, always sitting together, always sitting together. No. That is not church. Obviously, the church honors and values that union and respects that union, but no, not in the service. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we together? Now, that looks trivial, but that is a training of conservatism in the church. In the church, you are focused on the Lord. You are not focused on displaying yourself as husbands and wives. Not in the service. Are we together? Did you get what I said? The essence of the service, that time, is not for you to show the church that you are husbands and wives. That particular 2-3 hours is to serve the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? It's just something very simple. It's to serve the Lord. It's to serve the Lord. Are we together? I remember I was talking to someone about a particular minister who pastored the church. And I said, wait, did you know that so and so person was married? And he was like, yeah, I didn't know he was married. I said, he's been married. And then next time you go close, you check his hands. You see a signature there. Somebody's signature. Someone's signature is in his hands. Like that. I said, so he's my friend. So he went there, and then he just told me, ah, that's okay. Ah, Baolu Shele. I said, because the focus of the two individuals in the meeting is on serving God. So they are not focused on showing themselves. Are we together? You don't have to show. We'll see, we'll know. Amen? But that's just by the way. But look at this. Christian meetings has a tone. Told you? The tone also affects the time you show up in services. I don't show up in services after the service has started. I didn't say when service has started, don't come again. I didn't say that. Are we together? But I said the best time to show up for meetings is what? Minutes before the meetings what? Start. But you see, some people, they won't just show up before meeting starts. They will come halfway into the meeting. Now, I understand when you have an engagement happening in your life, maybe at that particular time could be consistent. When it's consistent, you walk around it. But when it's not consistent, okay, it's permitted. But look at it. One of the ways to honor the church meeting is to already notify of your lateness. It's not only in church you do that. You observe, you already do that in any gathering where you are expected that you value. You do that. You do that. You usually notify of your late coming, your lateness in arriving. So the same thing with church. So I simply find somebody who I'm accountable to in the church. The person who has been responsible in helping me grow in the church, helping me receive the ministry of the church, and I say, oh, I will be coming late. I'm not sure I'll make service today. I'll be coming late. You log it in. That is honor for the service. That is honor for the Lord. Amen. When I say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll be few minutes late to service. Now, you are not saying it because you're already late. You are saying it in advance. And by then you observe that, oh, what I thought would be 10 minutes late will actually be about 25 or 30 minutes late. You send a text again. I think I'll actually be later than I thought. That is honor for the Lord. So, it is easy to know an illiterate. He does not do these things. He treats the meeting as a casual meeting. Amen. As a pastor of a church, I mean, I serve here as a pastor, I don't treat meetings casual. I don't. Because I understand that I did not call the meetings. The Lord did. So I'm also attending service like everyone. Only that while I'm in service, I have a function. Just like a number of people also have their function. And I must be exemplary, just like every other person should be exemplary. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. Can we develop that attitude where towards Christian meetings, I become an example? Like wake that brother up. That is not being an example. Amen. You don't have to look at him. Why are you looking at him? Praise God. Why are you always sleeping? Eh? Eh? Are you a midnight worker? Find out what are you doing in the midnight. Praise God. Maybe you are praying for souls. Bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Should we talk about sleeping in services? Let's not talk about it. So you can be sure I have a message. Amen. Amen. So there's a tone. Your dressing. What about the way we address ourselves? You don't come to church service and then, let's say you want to call the brother and say, what happened to brother? Sister. That's how we address ourselves. As a church. Not just in meetings, outside meetings. Amen. Don't say, why is it in your church? You don't call people Mrs., Mr. But, okay, Mr. and Mrs., is he a brother? Hey, boy, he's married. He's married and his gender has changed. Look at it. He says, he that sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which sake is not afraid to call them what? Brethren. Jesus calls us brothers. Are we together? Are we together? Is the training in the church? I mean, that's God's word. Simple. Because the use of brother and sister, you don't know the meaning. That's why you don't. I told someone, I said, I call that sister. He said, no, don't call me sister. Just call me my name. And there were some of you like that too. Until we call you sister. Sister, I am now fine. You always define, you know. Praise God. Then say, don't call me brother, just call me Sheikhs. My name is Sheikh, but call me Sheikh. So imagine in church, Sheikh. You want to where are we? Let the Sheikh is the one handling the media. Hey, Sheikh, can I have? They're saying, brother Sheikh. Which one is more Christian? Brother Shegu, right? Yeah. Brother Shegu. So there's a tone. Hallelujah. He said, don't call me sister. Why? I think that the reason why she said, don't call me sister, this is because she probably has this orientation that, you know, sister is like dulling her. I just want to dull me. No. We are not dulling you. That is who you are. You are a brother. Are we together? When I use the word brother, I'm actually saying you and I are one. Is it clear? We're in the same brotherhood. We are brethren. Are we together? Paul will say that we are members one of another. So he says, lie not to one another. So the reason why I won't lie to you is because I won't deceive myself. So we are brothers. And look at this. The second thing that calling you brother does is that by calling you brother, I am also reminding you of your office. Because I told you that there's something called the office of a believer. I'll talk about it on Sunday, which will be our last session for this teaching series. There's something called the office of the believer. There is the position that a man occupies only because he's a believer in Christ. He can do those things. So when I say sister, look at this. Look at this. The reason why I say sister is because I can't say brother to you. Are you with me? Because you're a lady. So I can't say brother. Are you with me? But when I say sister, I am repeating the same thing I meant when I say brother to the brothers. Is it clear? I am saying that we are one. I am saying that we are family. I am also reminding you who you are to me, that you are supernatural. I remind you of your office. Are we together? So when we say sister, another word we use in church, you know, we can say pastor. When we say pastor, it is not title. I am reminding you of your office. When you mention pastor, I am saying that you are a shepherd amongst us. So I remind you of that God-given function as a brother. The brother that I call you is a God-given function. You are actually functioning as a brother. You are functioning in the brotherhood. Being a lady, we say a sister. So in the church, we have brother, we have sister. They say, oh, what of engineer? We don't have engineer in the church. Interestingly, if I meet you outside at the place of work, I'll say engineer. Are we together? I'll say doctor. When we come together in the church, we are brothers. Imagine you give birth to a child and your child wants to call you and say engineer. Did you get it? I mean, you're going to say, hey, what's happening here? I'm your dad. You see, I know. You know the kids of these days. I know. I have some of them in my compound. Amen. Or your son or your daughter looks at you. Is he just saying mom? He just saying nurse or pharmacist. You mean like, you know, you pay special attention and say, what are you up to? And if the child continues that way, he says, stop it. Henceforth, you call me. Are we together? Or you are married to a woman, and then every time she calls you engineer, yeah, you're at home. So call me a function. Are we together? In the home, don't even call me pastor. How will you call me pastor at home? My wife, call me pastor. That's up here. You want pastor to be sleeping with church member? You want pastor to be sleeping with church member? Say, dear, boo, babe, honey. You call it a butterfly, camera, anything, just a shoe, flower, just a hair. Because this is in the what? In the home. Do you get it? So in the church, who are you to me? You're not doctor, but say you're a brother. So don't feel, so if I now call you brother, and you now feel he's downgrading me, who is the illiterate? Do you get it? It shows you are not taught. It shows you are not taught. So brother, sister, pastor. That's why I tell some of you, the way you save your cell leader's name, I said, put it there. My cell leader, save it that way. I told someone, I said, your pastor, the pastor of the church, you don't save the pastor of the church, pastor so and so. You save the pastor of your church as what? Pastor or my pastor. You don't save your daddy's number and say, daddy. Oh, mister. Did you get what I'm saying? Now, if you see somebody else's dad, you can save it as mister. Somebody else's dad, you can say it as daddy. You know, that's a Yoruba way of saying it. Daddy. Are we together? Or mommy. Or missus. Because that is not your mom. But now, my mom, and I say, Mrs., what's happening here? So your pastor's name, are we together? He doesn't say Pastor Kevin. No. I'm teaching you God's word here. Not even to, because it can be done, should be done to me, but that is it. You say it as pastor or my pastor. Are we together? My cell leader. My cell leader. Are we together? So that is the tone. That is church. That is church. So the second thing we said, and that will lead me into my notes this evening, this afternoon rather, is that in the church we also have functions, supernatural functions. So there's a tone to our gatherings. There's also a supernatural function in our gatherings. So I told you that the first consciousness I have about church meetings is that church meetings are supernatural in nature, right? Don't forget I told you that when you got born again, it was a subscription into the supernatural, right? When you got born again, the very first thing you did is that you believed in God. Now, God is a supernatural being who is not seen or can be heard. Except, are we together? Are we together? Relate, you relate with God in the spirit. Now, the very first thing we say when we say you are born again is that you say, oh, the reality of salvation is that my sins have been forgiven. Are we together? And I showed you how the sins forgiven there is supernatural. That is why the one who is God, who gets born again in the prison is not released just on the basis that he's born again. The sins that were forgiven was not the one he committed to the government. Supernatural. Are we there? Then what else did we talk about? We said you go into the Bible, you open the Bible, you see God, see the Spirit of God. When a Christian dies, you say things like he has gone to be with the Lord and his body is right there with us, right? To show you that we have subscribed into supernatural things. So I told you that there must be a culture of maintaining supernatural consciousness of our meetings. Supernatural consciousness. I told you that church services are not clubs. Are not clubs. It's a supernatural meeting. Club, what do you go to do in the club? You go to be entertained. I don't go anyway. Amen. But I mean, clubs is for entertainment. Parties is for entertainment. Church service is not party. It's not partying. Amen. Amen. It's not an entertainment booth. A fun fair center. Fun fair. Fun fair. We can enjoy ourselves as church members, as a ministry group, as brethren. We can have parties. Are we together? We can have birthday parties where we celebrate your birthday. Are we together? Or birthday anniversary. Amen. We're not there when you were born, but we know you were born. So, we celebrate your birthday anniversaries. What else do we celebrate? Or people get inducted, right? Right? Into professions, right? How we celebrate with them. Some people, when they are convoking, right? So, when you are convoking, we celebrate with you. What else? Maybe you got a new job. I don't know if you celebrate a new job. I don't know. But if you celebrate a new job, we'll come and eat. Are we together? We'll come and eat. What else? Okay. Someone's in house opening, right? House opening. I remember a friend of mine. Someone had bought a car. And said she come and bless the car. You know what they say? What did they say? I said, ah, pastor, go and bless the car. What did he call you? He rebuked the person. He rebuked the person. He got a word. I said, Abba. I said, hey, were you not hungry? You're going to eat now. You mean just to lay hands on the car, bless you. If the person is like, may not drive and wear. Bless me. And they just speak words. Are we together? Oh, don't forget naming ceremonies, right? We like, thank you. We like naming ceremonies, right? 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 We like naming ceremonies. So, I mean, proper like, you know. We like naming ceremonies. So, we get there, we look at the new child, and then we pray, we enjoy. So, we also are helpers of one another's joy, as I put it. We are helpers of one another's joy. I know some people, they call themselves Christians, they never greet people happy birthday. They are not a Christian. They won't greet happy birthday. No matter what's beautiful that is happening in your life, is when the birthday dies. They will now show up in one unfortunate black clothes with a rebellious goggle. We should flog you and throw you into the stuff too. And stay there for 1 hour. Bless you. Stay there for 1 hour so that you genuinely cry. You don't celebrate people when they are alive. That you say you miss them. No. The best time to celebrate people's life is not after they have died. It's right there when they are with you. Is it clear? So it's not anti-church to celebrate people's birthday or a beautiful thing happening in their life. You rejoice with them. So we do that as a church. But look at this. That is not the church service. You will also rejoice with people when they are getting married. Is it clear? Rejoice with them. Amen. You rejoice with them because you are going to, praise God. Right, you are going to pray for them. Amen. So, rejoice with them and all that. But that is not the service. So the service is not a natural meeting. So sometimes we bring the ideology of our worldly gatherings into the service. The result of that is that we are not blessed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, everyone. Let me teach you a little bit. 1 Corinthians 5. Praise God. It says in verse 2, 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That's very terrible, 2, how many of you know that's very terrible? Now history has it that was not his, that was his stepmom. It doesn't matter. That is terrible. Are we together? Very terrible. In verse 2, he says, and you are puffed up, more terrible. And I've not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now, this is a Christian brother in the church. Verse 3, for I verily, as I sent in the body, but present in spirit, I've judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. Verse 4, can we take it together once you go? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it shows you that, in a gathering of believers, two things. Look at what Paul said. Paul says, my spirit is there. Wow. Paul says, my spirit is there. It doesn't stop there. He says, in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in a believer's gathering, unlike the gathering of tenants or of teachers and parents, unlike the gatherings of colleagues at work, end of the year party at the institution or in the organization, what other gatherings do you have? Landlord association, right? Landlord association. Oh, we're having family meeting. Unlike that gathering, he says, in this one, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ is there. The word power there is the word exousia. In the Greek, is the word authority. So, the authority of Jesus is in the meeting. Glory to God. I told you that in the church meeting, he is head there. He is present, but he is not present like he is present everywhere else. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. There I am in the midst of them. He is not present as he is present every other place. He is present in a unique way, we said. So Paul says, my spirit is there. My spirit is there with you. Paul says, my spirit is there with you in the meeting.
Then he says, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ is also there. With the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we said the meetings of the local assembly is supernatural. Are we together? Church service is a supernatural gathering, and there are functionalities in the church. Sorry, there are personalities in the church service, and those personalities have their functions. Glory to God forevermore. So we said that in the church service, my consciousness ought to be a supernatural one. It says, lo, I am with you always, Matthew 28, verse 20, unto the end of the age. He is with us. A supernatural consciousness of Christian meetings. A supernatural consciousness that God is here. Are we together? Are we together? God is here. God is here as the reason for the gathering. The Lord is here as the head of the gathering. The Lord is here as the leader of the gathering. He is the leader of the meeting. I maintain that consciousness. His sacred consciousness of meetings. Let's look at something about supernatural consciousness. Something about supernatural consciousness. In Genesis chapter 28. I've taught from this text several, but let's look at it again. Are we there? Are we there? Genesis 28. Look at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran. Genesis 28:11 now. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took up the stones of the place and put them for his pillows and laid down in a place to sleep. 12. And he dreamed. Behold, the ladder set off from the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood upon it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of heaven, repeat Abraham's ministry to him. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Can we take 16 together? Once go. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Look at 17. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stones that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the Lord, the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And he made a vow. Did you see that? Look at this. You observe what he had seen. I mean, there's a number of lessons to learn there. We'll just pick one. What he had seen as ordinary, used the stones for a pillow. Then suddenly, he makes what he had made a pillow into a pillar. A pillar is an altar of worship. What happened? Because something changed. Something changed. On a journey, late night, I can't continue. I take a break here. I continue at daybreak. He gathers the stones. He puts a pillow. He makes a pillow out of it.
He relaxes, waiting for the break. And then the Bible says he had this vision where the Lord appeared to him at that spot. And then suddenly he began to have a supernatural consciousness of something or of somewhere because the Lord is there. So he shows you that the place of encounter ought to be taught. Are we together? T-H-O-U-D-G-H-T. Ought to be thought, ought to be esteemed as the supernatural ground. The place of encounter. He calls the place Bethel. Is it clear? Bethel. Now the word Bethel is two Hebrew words lumped together. The word Bayit. Bayit. Bayit is the Hebrew word for house or household. Bayit. And the word El, which is a suffix. Are we together? That is used to describe what is of God, what is divine. The word El. That's why supernatural beings that are esteemed as God's messengers has that word El attached to them. Mike El. Are we together? Gabriel. That word El, that suffix El, is used to connote what is divine. So, Bayit El, Bethel. Are we together? He changed the name. He began to call the place Bethel to show a supernatural consciousness which he now has because of the supernatural encounter which he had. The place of encounter is secret. So for us today, as the Church of Jesus Christ, what is the place of encounter for us? Where is the place of encounter? Where is the house of God? Where is the household of God? The gathering of ourselves together. So church meetings, irrespective of where we are meeting, look at this. The church should have a place of meeting, but look at this. If you and I, for one reason or the other, say today that we are going to meet, let's say we say, oh, let's have a camp meeting. Or we're having a camp meeting. Then we said, the location of a camp meeting, are we together? Is, let's say, there's this building who has been used as a brothel. You know what brothel is? A brothel. You know, that is like an unclean spot, unclean place. But look at this. The moment the church says, we are meeting there. Are we together? That place of meeting ceases to be unclean. It becomes supernatural. The moment we are meeting in a place, that place begins to have a supernatural what? Connotation. It begins to have a supernatural recognition. That place ceases to be ordinary. I'm not idolizing a geographic location. I'm saying the point of meeting for believers. The moment we gather to meet in a place, that gathering and the place of gathering becomes what? Supernatural. Is it clear? As long as we are meeting there, it becomes supernatural. It becomes supernatural. It becomes supernatural. Because the believers themselves, natural, we've seen that. The God we worship, the God with whom we are meeting, the God who makes our gathering a temple for himself, is supernatural. So you see, Jacob there, he begins to treat as sacred what he had thought or treated as ordinary. Why? Because he saw that God's hand, God's presence is there. Praise God. Now this is true about meetings also. It's true about meetings also. So rather than see a church service as ordinary, the moment I realize that Christians are having a gathering there for the purpose of the work of the Lord, the moment I realize that a church is meeting, or we are having a Christian meeting, amen, that meeting ceases to be ordinary. Whatever God is using ceases to be ordinary. It doesn't matter your relationship with that thing. Your relationship with that thing. It doesn't matter. Sometimes your relationship with it can precede your discovery that God's hand is there. Is it clear? Look at me, everyone. Sometimes your interactions might precede what? Your discovery that God's presence is there with this thing, with this place, with these people. But the moment I see that God is involved in this, my perception changes. I begin to treat it as what? Supernatural. Supernatural. What do I mean by I see it as supernatural? I begin to see it as an avenue to worship God, either in giving and receiving the things of God. I didn't say money, I said the things of God. I begin to see it as an avenue to interact with things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. That's it. I begin to see that. I begin to see. Look at Acts 9. Acts of Apostles, chapter 9. In verse 10. Praise God. Are you there? In Acts 9. In verse 10. What happened? And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Now I want us to read Ananias' response in verse 13 and 14. Can we take it together? Want to go? And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. In other words, look at this. Lord, are you sure? Are you sure what? Are you sure he is worthy of my mission, my ministering to him? Are you sure he is worthy of us welcoming him? This guy has been a thorn in the flesh to the churches. Filthy little guy. Praise God. Look at this.
Look at the next thing Jesus said. The Lord said unto him, can we take it together? Verse 15, everyone, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for thy name, for my name's sake. Can we read 17 together? I want to go. What did he call Saul? His brother in your translation. Do you have brother in your own Bible? What does he call him? Look at the shift in recognition. This is a trained Christian. Did you see that? Immediately. If you observe what he told the Lord, I have heard of this man, this guy, this fellow. But the moment the Lord showed him that he is born again, not just born again, he is chosen. He says he's chosen unto me a chosen vessel to bear my name. Ananias knew what it means to bear my name to Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Ananias knew that Israel was a major point of persecution for the Christians. So he says, this will be an apostle to them. He knew. Immediately, he began to see Paul as holy. Brother. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. And you see how he addressed him. He didn't just say, "We are come here." They say, "You can't see. How will you see? How will you see? Please, who is with this brother? Who is with this brother? I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I have cell meeting. I have cell meeting in the evening. Yeah, I don't have time for all this. So I'm going to leave you. See the way he's walking. Are you sure it's only your eyes that is faulty? Are you sure your leg is not broken? Yeah, I was only trying to open your eyes. Oh, yo, do quick, do quick, do quick, do quick, do quick. Look at the way he's walking. Then just lay hands on him sharply. Can you see now? If you can't, you go and fast and pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this ministry. Amen. And he just said, no. Are we together? Did you know he was the one who got Paul filled with the Holy Ghost? He laid hands on Paul. He must have stayed with Paul. Did you know he must have taught him? Do you know he must have taught him? He must have taught Paul. On utterances. Are we together? Enough for him to be filled with the Spirit. Speak with tongues. Glory to God forevermore. So the things of God are preserved when we handle them in honor. In honor. When we handle them in honor for the Lord's sake, we handle believers in the church like us, our leaders, our pastors, responsibilities are handled, persons, functions, ministries are received, handled, words of prophecies given to you are handled, instructions are handled with much honor. The things of God are preserved. Let me begin to close. Praise God. So church meetings is a supernatural meeting. It is not a place to walk in pretense. It's a place to walk in honor. We are not saying when you come to service, you just become a different you. A different you. You just begin to smile. By the time you leave service, you become, have you seen those videos of those, some dogs on the internet? That when you do what they like, it starts leaking. By the time you do what you just go from leaking, just some Christians are like that. After the church, you're that's how they are. They look like demons. So we are not saying that the moment you come to church, you just like oh God, the sweetest thing ever. After service, all the bike men in Nigeria, they are in trouble. No. Praise God. Why am I doing all that? So that you will get it. That's why I'm teaching like that, so that you get it. So that's why you want to get angry. Just remember that I have demonstrated how your feet are. I am a tanga. That some Christians. Praise God. I used to know a sister so many years ago.
In her meetings, every time she came into the meeting, this is the way she walks. I'm not joking. She always covers her nose. Sometimes, one day I had to walk with her. I said, are we smelling? Yes.
Sometimes I could be out.
I said, come here. Come here. Are we smelling? Jealous. Which among us? Which among us is many? How many? She always comes to me. That's how she walks. In fact, that's how she walks. Just like, where are you running to in life? She doesn't wait behind services. I mean, the woman's service is done. She just carries her tiny little rebellious bag, and the bag is black. And then just no. You a sister. Is that kind of people that they don't come in, sister? So we are not saying that in the service you are like Jesus. Outside the service, you are like who now?
Praise God.
That supernatural consciousness which you demonstrate in the service, did you know it followed you into the service? It must follow you into the service. That means that consciousness remains with you after service. Glory to God forevermore. Did you know that your younger brother, who is a Christian, can lay hands on you and the sickness will leave? And he's not a pastor. He's just a believer. That is what I meant by the office of the believer. He says, they that believe, they will lay hands on the sick. There is what every believer can do. We don't see it because we don't yet honor the office of the believer. Every believer can. Supernaturally, we can bring you direction. We can bring one another supernatural direction. I'll talk about that on Sunday, coming Sunday. Supernatural direction. Hallelujah forevermore. So we're not talking about in service. You are so soft and fine and holy, and then after service, oh, you're terrible to behold. No. The consciousness follows you in and out of service. It is there. Supernatural consciousness. So it is not a place to walk in pretense. It's a way to demonstrate what you have already had in your mind through the week. Are we together? In the church service, that supernatural consciousness which follows you everywhere, that supernatural consciousness which you sleep with it, you wake up with it, you go everywhere with it, you do everything with it. I remember I was doing business with someone and the person had greatly misbehaved. And then as we were talking, I discovered that he was a pastor of an assembly. So I took away the whole conversation from where we were discussing and all that. So I called him to side. I said, can I share something with you? He said, yes. I said, can I just talk in a different way? He said, yes. I said, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to let it go. Because I learned that you're a pastor. So he looked at me. Yeah. I said, I'm going to let it go. Because I have a great respect for that office. In fact, you see, the office of a pastor is the office I respect the most in my life. And the Bible teaches the same. That's why the Bible says, it says, those who teach you the word and labor over you, it says they are worthy of double honor. It looks like if I give a honor to somebody, the greatest form of honor to somebody, because of who he is, I must then look at my pastor and give him double. That is the Bible teaching. Now I know there are some folks who abuse such rights and such privileges, rather. They abuse it. But like I tell someone, I said, why are you behaving this way? He said, because I said, in your church, do you have that issue? No. So why? So we don't have people who abuse it yet. Are we together? I know people abuse that privilege, but we don't have abusers here in this church. Are we together? So it's safe to walk in honor. No, they are. I'm just trying to be guided. I'm trying to be guided. You are not trying to be guided. You are trying to be foolish. You don't have that issue. You don't mend what is not broken. When you try to mend what is not broken, it will break. You don't get suspicious in assembly where things are done properly. Are we together? Amen. Walking in honor is walking in the supernatural. The believer can do that, can bring you direction, can strengthen your faith. The believer can heal you of your sickness. A fellow believer, outside church service, of course. Did you know you can walk up to a Christian in your lodge, in your room, in your compound, and say, "Sir, can you pray with me?" And then you pray together and you receive it. Because you know that fellow is supernatural. So supernatural recognition is what ought to follow us everywhere. Are we together? See, I know who I am. A believer can heal the sick. Mark 16:15, right? 17, right? A believer can cast out devils. I remember there was a time like that, that in my family, I was having an issue with one of my siblings. I mean, it was getting very disturbing. And I believed God, and I trusted God, and I had spoken words, and I had even ministered. I ministered to her. Ministered. And then she wasn't yet healed. And I was getting disturbed. I was getting worked up. And then I just picked my phone after some weeks. And I called my friend. I said, "How are you, sir?" And then he's fine. I said, "This and this and this have been happening. I don't know. I want you to pray with me." I was in the city. He's in the city where I left. He's in the city where my family was. And I said, "I want you to pray with me." And then he said, "It's fine." Now he's my very close friend. So he said, "It's fine." And I said, I don't want to trouble you. I know you're busy because he's a doctor. So I said, can you just help me drive down to that place and deal with that devil? and just deal with that devil. Let me send that bastard back to hell." Are we together? He said, "Why not?" He takes his car, he drives down to my home, gets in there, meets my parents, few minutes with them. Then the godson of the girl laid hands on her, prayed with her. And then that was the last time that episode happened. That was the last time. Something that had happened going to about 200 times. I mean, it was so disturbing. And that was the last time it happened. That was the last time. So later on when we spoke, he says, "What about this person?" I said, "That was the last time." And I was so happy. I now could focus. Are we together? Now, if I don't have a supernatural recognition of him, the stuff will go worse. Yeah, I might believe in God. Yeah, as he steps in, he gets the job done by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Who cares who gets the job done? Are we together? Who wants the job done? Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Because I had the supernatural recognition of him. See, I told you, that is why many times you see the family members or even wives of healing ministers dies of the sicknesses that the husband gets healed in other people's bodies. Because just because you stay with someone in the house, you sleep on the same bed with someone, are we together? All your life, there's nothing. So it comes to a point where there seems to be nothing special about that person again. You are treading on dangerous grounds. We must always maintain that same perception of a fellow believer. He or she is supernatural. Are we together? She can cast out devils. He can cast out devils. Are we together? Are we together?
Are we together?
I remember some time ago, about more than 10 years now, some group of guys I was teaching, about 15 years now, some group of guys I was teaching, about 10 to 15 of them, I was training them week in, week out, almost every day. I'll hold vigils with them for 14 days sometimes. I'll be having vigils with them daily. I was really training them in the battle. And I remember one of them, the mother had come down with a terrible sickness. And then he just went in there. And then he just lay hands on the mom while she lied in the bed in the room, you know, bedridden because of the condition. The woman said she felt something like honey flowing through her body. Immediately she said she passed out. And then she came back sweating over, healed. I think maybe it was a third born or so. Very young, was less than 12 then. Maybe around 12 to 14 then. Lay down, the sickness left. Now, it was because, now the mother, usually call him young pastor. The mother, we call him young pastor. Pastor Kikiri, in English, young pastor, because we all attended the same church. So, the young pastor. So, it was because the mother had a supernatural recognition. So, your son can get you healed. If you don't believe, go and ask Mary. Are we together? Go and ask Mary. Mary must have maintained the supernatural recognition of his son Jesus for her to have spoken with him. Her speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost was healing Jesus' destruction. Are we together? So it doesn't matter. Could be your younger brother, could be your elder brother, could be your younger sister, could be your elder sister, could be your son, could be your daughter, could be your friend, could be your classmate. Is he a Christian? Are we together? He can heal the sick. He can agree with you. You can believe God together. He can cast out devils. He can raise the dead. He's declared church. How much more people that we are in the same assembly with? The recognition ought to be high. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, say, I know you. Look at someone by you, say, I know you. Say, I recognize who you are. Say to me, you are supernatural. Say, I know I can agree with you. You can agree with me. And needs will be met. Say, you can speak to me. You can speak into my life. I can speak into your life. And miracles will happen. Same recognition. I have a supernatural recognition. I have a supernatural perception of who you are in the church and to me. Say, you are a fellow minister. Say, I know you. The power of the Holy Ghost is at work through you. Say, I know you. I know who heals the sick. Say, you can cast out devils. Say, I know that God's will can make progress in my life. I can make progress in God's plan through you. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a supernatural recognition. We can receive from one another. So when we come into the meetings, we put that recognition to work. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In the meeting, God is here. In the meeting, God is here. And 6 last week, where I said, the servant of the prophet, the eyes will be open to see. The eyes will be open to see. Are we together? And the eyes were open. The eyes were open to see. Glory to God forevermore. So I go to church meetings with a supernatural recognition. Don't forget how we started this series. We said epignosis, right? So I'm sharing with us things that ought to become a knowledge in our lives. In our lives. Christians globally. That's why I told someone, I said, there's no church where I can worship. There's no church. There's no church where I can worship. There's no church. If they are calling on the name of Jesus there, and they love the Lord, I can attend it. Are we together? Are we together? And I'll be blessed. Oh, you don't believe? I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. There is no church. Because look at this. Is a sign of spiritual growth. Accommodation without compromise is a sign of spiritual development. If you can't accommodate others, means you are not growing. Is it clear? Don't forget I said without compromise. Without compromise. It means you're not growing. You're not growing. There's no Christian, worst case scenario, who find the common ground and fellowship on the common ground. Is it clear? Is it clear? Hallelujah. Someone say, hey, when I got into that church, I said that they were dancing. I just left. Come on. Are we together? You don't have to leave because they are dancing. Amen. Amen. You also don't have to, you know, get rough. But at least you move your body. Are we together? Are we together? Move your body. Don't get carried away. Amen. Now there, I went to preach somewhere. And when I got there, they invited me to preach. When I got there, I couldn't tolerate them. They are the ones tolerating you. They are the ones tolerating you. They are the ones tolerating you. I couldn't tolerate them. They were just clapping and dancing. So the moment I got the mic, I first of all addressed it. You will not go back there again. They will invite you again. They are not smart. Is that your church? You must know how to accommodate. How to relate with fellow believers. There's a joy of salvation. In the joy of salvation, you are not first conscious of the differences. You are conscious of the similarities. The similarities that we have, the Spirit of God. Are we together? Are we together? I remember I went to preach somewhere some years ago. And then some people from church, our church, they followed me. So before they asked me to come to hold the mic, they were already wondering, how will pastor preach here? I've been preaching in churches for over 18 years. So how will pastor preach here? So I just got the mic. And I started to exhort it. So I went back into the songs they sang. Simple. I went back to the song they sang and the words they used, and I used their words and their songs to exhort them, and the whole atmosphere opened up the more. I brought in the things of the Spirit. I taught God's word. They spoke in tongues. Tired. God people filled with the Holy Ghost. God people talking in tongues. Imagine you just get a mic and say, you look like the church at Corinth. They are going to show you some Corinthians gift. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at this. Church, we are one. The home, the supernatural, we said. It is supernatural. So my recognition is also supernatural. I treat meetings as sacred. Let me say this and then close today. I therefore go to church meeting, we'll talk about this more on Sunday, to receive and to give. To be a blessing and to receive. In a supernatural meeting, what do? I go to be a blessing and I also go to be blessed. Are we there? In the meeting, I give and receive supernatural realities. We already said God is amongst us, right? Now his activities amongst us are supernatural. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 26. 1 Corinthians 14 and 26. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26. In 23. He says, I want to also read verse 23. We take it together. Verse 23, once you go. If therefore the whole church become together into one place and wait, is it possible that a whole church all are speaking in tongues? Thank you. Actually, history has it that the church at Corinth was not less than 23,000 in membership. 23,000. So Paul is saying, the whole church will come together. Now, someone's saying he's talking about them coming together in bits. No. No. Sometimes, because you don't want to agree with the word, you sound like someone who just collect your English certificate from you. You read the word whole. It is the whole church. What's the meaning of who? The whole church, right? Right? So this is not believers in their rooms or groups. The whole church. So it says if the whole church be what? Come together, then it says in what? One place. See, what Paul is saying is so clear. You can't mistake it. He's talking about a corporate service. Something like Sunday morning. Whichever day, a corporate service or a camp meeting. Are we together? You know a camp meeting can fit into this text. Huh? Because now today, you know we can have churches and the same church we have a branch in Amoyo, right? You know we can have another branch in Ogbomosho, right? Let's say we have another one in Maliti. Let's say we have another branch in Ghana. We have another center in Abuja. Let's say we have in Lagos, Ogun State. Are we together? We have in Ife. We have in the north. We have in the east. All around. Then it says, when the whole church become together into one place, that's like a special meeting. Where everybody now come together. So people travel down. Are we together? So something like that. So it can work for an assembly. It can also work for your whole ministry. Where all the members are in the same place. He doesn't say, I'm all. He says, speak with tongues. Hallelujah. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. We do not say that you are mad. But if all prophesy, so can all prophesy. Huh? Can all prophesy? He says, if all prophesy, and there come in one that believe not. He says, and one unlearned is convinced of all, is judged of all, and does the secrets of his heart made manifest, or falling down on his face, he will worship God, report that God is in you of the truth. Can we take 26 together, everybody wants to go? How is it there, brethren? When you come together, Every one of you will be to God. Every one of you has a psalm. Hallelujah. Has adopted the word exhortation there by the Spirit. Has a tongue. Has a revelation. Has an interpretation. Let all these things be done unto what? Edifying. Are we together? Let all be done unto edifying. No way to God. Let all be done unto what? Edifying. No way to God. Someone say, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. Say, have everything first. Have everything first. Then we can start talking about what? Order. Hey, which one is order? No revelatory give, no utterance give, no power give. You are talking about order. You better go for the first one. Don't put the cart before the horse. Or the horse before the cart, then. Are we together? The whole church. So I come to give and what? Receive. Of the things of God. I not say money. I said the things of God. The believers don't have money in common. And they will not. And that is God's word. Is it clear? That's why Paul, look at this. Paul addresses the Christian who is a servant to someone, and the address was not, what are you doing here? He rather teaches him how to serve the boss. If it was today, somebody would say, no. Seek for how you also can be free. That is not a Christian teaching. Interesting. So he teaches the servant how to serve the boss. Because why? That one who is a servant today, through diligence, definitely will be free. He doesn't need God to teach him that. But we will always have servants. Did you see that? We will always have that situation. And that's what the church should focus on. The church should focus on how people can serve God in no matter state they are, not how to get out of the state. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? The church should teach how people can serve God, because you will always have believers in diverse states. Are we together? Are we together? Because look at this. If your emphasis is on how to change the state, Christians will start doing what they should not do. Because your focus, your diet, is that they will be uncomfortable in the state they are in. No, that should not be your diet. That should not be your diet. Teach the diligence of a Christian. By being a Christian, by being diligent, you will see yourself walk out of situations. Are we together? But look at this. We must not forget to provide wisdom for men to serve God in every situation they are found. Did you get what I am saying? So look at that. He says, every believer has what to give. 1 Corinthians 14. Come together. Come together. In Luke 24, 49, 50, he says, to wait at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. The supernatural. I'll build on this part of my notes next week. Praise God. But look at this. When Jesus gives that instruction to go make disciples, he had instructed meetings. Meetings. So meetings are a part of our walk with God. And to receive and maximize what those meetings are for, we must have a supernatural recognition of them. Pray for me, I close. The book of Acts, as you see it, is both a book of gatherings and a book of supernatural experiences. I can go on and on. Maybe I'll do that next week. I'll go on and on to show you that virtually in almost every chapter of the book of Acts, you see a gathering. In Acts 1, right from verse 1, having introduced the text, Luke, to Theophilus. 2, things that because Jesus began both to teach and to do. By Acts 3, he began to talk to them how that he had given instructions to them after he had was taken up, given commanded by the Holy Ghost. So from verse 4 and 5, you will observe, he already shows us that the instructions Jesus gave to them was meeting. See, Luke is telling us that there won't be this book, which is a journalistic account of the activities of the apostles. Luke is showing us right from Acts 1 that there will not be a book like this if men are not gathered. If men had not assembled, if men had not heeded the instructions to gather together and what to do with and in those gatherings, we would not have the book of Acts. Who will have the book of Acts? Who will have the book of Acts? Who will have the book of Acts? Who have the book of Acts? Who have the book of Acts? In fact, you observe that the supernatural experiences that we see in the book of Acts were attached to the fact that they were gatherings. Acts 1, gathering. It was in the gardens that Jesus taught and instructed them for 40 days. He was taken up among them. He met them at Galilee. Are we together? Again, through the gatherings. It was in the gathering that the angels appeared to them, exhorted them about Jesus coming down in the same manner he had gone. It was in the gathering. They returned to gathering. Immediately they left with joy. They returned into Jerusalem. And they were there for the space of about 10 days, waiting on the Lord. So that in Acts 1, verse 14 and 15, it was said that they continued steadfastly, are we together, in prayers and supplication. They continued in prayer and supplication. So that by Acts 2, the day of the Pentecost happened in the gathering. Supernatural moments in the gathering. Acts chapter 2. By Acts chapter 2, verse 39 and 40, when they had gotten 3,000 people saved, the 3,000 continued steadfastly in gatherings. Fellowship. Gatherings. By Acts chapter 3, in verse 1, they were on their way to a gathering, prayer meeting. And then they got this man saved, this man at the beautiful, the gate called Beautiful. Amen. They called him healed. The crowds gathered. They preached the gospel. Did you observe that one of the persecutions in the book of Acts was against gathering? The devil hates gatherings. Satan hates gatherings. Because when we gather, hallelujah, when he's a threat to the enemy, glory to God. Acts 4, gatherings. They prayed from verse 28 down to verse 30, 32. They prayed, the Bible says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The place was shaking together. Afterwards, it says, through the hands of the apostles, there were mighty signs and wonders. You see, the power that we generate in our gatherings can't be generated in isolation. You can't generate it in isolation. Acts 5, gatherings. People were added to the gatherings every day. By Acts 6, gatherings. They called the young men, seven of them together, laid hands on them, sent them forth to minister to the gatherings. By Acts chapter 7, Philip was had to stand gathering, obviously. That was in the gathering of believers. We had to stand before the gathering to defend the gospel. And then he was killed. It was a gathering that came for him. The assembly of believers came for his body. By Acts 8, we see Peter and John being sent down to Samaria after Philip had gone there and preached the gospel. Acts 8:5, he had cast out devils, unclean spirit, had his boy carried out with the last boy. He had set men free. Even Simon the sorcerer had seen the power of God at work. Then Peter and John will come to lay hands on those gatherings. Acts 9, gatherings. Paul was persecuting gatherings, going into houses, looking for gatherings. So he went in prison. And then Jesus came, met with him, and it was a gathering the way he could, and he got what? Eyes of God opened, he got filled, he got a recognition of the ministry when he met with Ananias. In Acts 10, Cornelius was told to request for Peter. It was in that gathering together, a Christian meeting, that there was progress. The doors of the Gentiles were open to the ministry of the gospel. Cornelius and his entire household, they received the gospel and they got filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Verse 44 to 46. Acts 11, gatherings. Gatherings, so that by 26, the Bible says they were called Christians for the first time because they were in gatherings and they were teaching much. Content of their teaching was about Christ. Glory to God forevermore. By Acts 12 again, it was a gathering after Peter, James had been killed, and then Herod had picked up Peter, put him in the prison. There was a prayer meeting going on in the gathering. Are we together? So by the time the angelic intervention came and set Peter free, Peter knew where to go. Because there was a gathering there. Is it clear? By Acts 13, in verse 2, it was a gathering which led to the apostolic ministry that Paul and Barnabas went on. So that by Acts 15, it was two gatherings that doctrinal issues were resolved that came from Antioch at Jerusalem. And then they sent back Silas. Are we together? And Barnabas. Are we together? To go back and follow him. Matthias, was it? No. Where the two guys sent that? Sorry? That last, are we together? Right? Silas and what? With Barnabas, thank you. With Barnabas was sent after them to go there and address the garden of the saints, which was Antioch at Cilicia. Are we together? And one other city. Amen. Are we together? Then we see Acts 14, gatherings. Acts 15, gatherings. Acts 16, gatherings to receive God's word. Acts 17, gatherings at different cities, Berea, and receiving God's word. By Acts 18, there were gatherings at Corinth. Are we together? For a whole year, Paul was there, 1.5 years teaching. By Acts 19, it was a gathering in verse 4 and 5. And then later on in Acts 20 again, the gatherings were increased. Glory to God. Acts 21, gatherings. Even Acts 28, there was a gathering. People came to meet with Paul in his lodge. Are we together? And some believed. Are we together? Around verse 18 to 20. And some did not believe. So the book of Acts was a book of supernatural experiences. But look at this. It was also a book of gatherings. So to have supernatural experiences, which God has designed that we should have, we must place a premium on our gatherings together. Glory to God forevermore. So Jesus tells them, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. That was a meeting. They gathered, they had experiences, and as a result of that experiences, the work of the ministry made progress. So I close with this, what we said sometimes last year, that Christian meetings are instructed of God. They are ordained of God.
They are instructed of God. God works with meetings. God works with meetings. He works through meetings. No serious Christian despises meetings. Church meetings, prayer meetings, teaching meetings, evangelism meetings, cell meetings, outreaches, Holy Ghost meetings. When we have special meetings in church, a camp meeting, a special meeting, where we come together and we stay in one place for days, waiting on the Lord, fellowshipping with one another, receiving God's word, going in His counsel, and ministering the things of the Spirit. There are moments of the supernatural. There are moments of the glory of God. Hallelujah. We also see, as I'm going to show us, that someone say, what about my personal times with the Lord? Did you observe that Jesus, before He went on the 40 days fast, grew up in gathering? By Luke chapter 2, He was in gathering, in the temple, asking questions and learning. Then He goes in what we can call a personal retreat. Did you see what the personal retreat resulted in? Gathering. So the personal moments are meant for the gatherings. The personal moments are also inspired by the gatherings. So what happens? Look at this. A Christian does not start with personal moments. The Christian starts with what? Gatherings. Is it clear? Is it clear? The moment someone is born again yesterday, born again today, the next thing we help him to do, we don't commit a copy of Bible to him and say, go and read it. Just go and read it and be going. Go and read the book of John. Book of John, call. Are we together? What do we do when someone is born again? We bring him into the gathering. It is from the gathering he will know how to pray in his private life. It is in the gathering he will know how to have his morning devotion, how to walk with God in the gatherings. So the gatherings make our personal times, our private moments with the Lord, it makes it effective. And when we have effective private moments with the Lord, it further makes us useful in the gatherings. Did you see that? So from the gathering to the what? The private moment. Is it clear? Is it clear? The private moment again to where? The gatherings. Is it clear, church? And in the gatherings, we have the things of the Spirit. So I'll continue from here next week. Blessed afternoon, everyone. So you have a great week. Hallelujah. Have a great week. Full of the supernatural. This week you have God's help. Where difficult things are made simple. In the name of Jesus. The difficult is made simple this week. The difficult, by the power of the Holy Ghost. I see someone here, you wrote a letter, you had to write that letter about 2-3 times. It was in the email. You sent that email about 2-3 times. Placing a request for the same thing. It's coming this week. It's coming this week. Precisely about the third time. Like last week or last 2 weeks, you wrote the last one. It was last week, not even last week. Last week, you had to craft it again. And, you know, you stressed that it because what you wrote was just a form of modification. You just modified because you're like, I've written all that I need to. It's coming for this week. By the power of the Holy Ghost. And now that miracle is to show you that the Lord is walking with us. Are we together? Walking with us. So you be careful of the seeds of thought that creeps into your heart in your quiet and private moments. Are we together? You mustn't let loose your guard. Is it clear? The Lord is with you. That's what matters. The Lord is with you. So there are things you don't consider since He's with you. Is it clear? There are some things you are not afraid of since He's with you. There are some things you won't compromise on since He's with you. It's God to cover. Hallelujah. We're going to have manifestations of the power of God this week. From this week into the end of the month, we're having manifestations of God's power. Yes, in bodily healings, in material miracles and provisions, in doors being opened to you,
in certain corners and places. Are we together? Are we together? And this someone, there's this thing you do, and more people are reaching out for you. More people are reaching you for it. Yes, like you try to get it into some places, and there's been this blockage, and you can't seem to be able to do something about it. But in this week, there's a call for it from different places. In the name of Jesus, there's a call for it. Call for it. And in the work of our ministry through the week, there's an openness. Hearts are softened. Hearts are softened by the power of the Holy Ghost. During the fourth session, we prayed, right? We prayed for families, right? Expect your families to be open to the gospel. So you don't be laid back in suggesting. Are we together? Making spiritual suggestions. Is it clear? Learn to say, God, pray about it. The whole house. Learn to say, can we take a fast about this? The whole house. And that instruction is not coming from the prayer, it's coming from you. Learn to say, can we wait on the Lord? And then, when you have instructed that the family waits on the Lord, and the Lord gives you that voice, and all are heeding to it, then you have a room to introduce teachings into the home. Are we together? Then you put God's word there. Then you instruct materials. Can we listen to this and this and this? This subject. Then you instruct it. And then you see the power of God back you up. Will back you up. And there will be results. Are we together? So we see hearts are thrown, doors in the hearts are thrown open to us in this month, which will then lead to a greater harvest in the course of the year. Are we together? Your businesses are prosperous this week. In the name of Jesus, you have prosperous ventures this week. If you buy and sell, you make more sales. And it will be clear to you that it's supernatural. A great cash, right? In the ministry, right? A great cast, right? In the natural. Observe that God worked that miracle of a need, right? To show his great catch of harvest of souls in the world. We can also have both today. Right? Right? So where you have been selling one, you can sell 50. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Say, we receive supernatural ministries. We receive supernatural provisions, the help of God this week, the rest of the month, through the year, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Great with everyone. You are blessed.